If your vibe is the earlier the better, Lowe's early Black Friday deals are a no-brainer. Get up to 35% off select major appliances, and rewards members get free delivery, haul-away, basic installation, and a 2-year Lowe's protection plan when you spend $2,500 or more on select LG major appliances. Valid through 11/4. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change. LG member offer excludes Massachusetts, Maryland, Wisconsin, New Jersey, and Florida. Selection varies by location. Select locations only. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details.
The company that makes the best over-the-ear headphones is now making the best earbuds. Heavy's users have made their voices heard, and we present the H1E earbuds. Multiple drivers and multiple microphones, up to 24 hours battery life per charge with a quick charge case, comfortable silicone design that fits perfectly so you can headbang all day and not have the buds slip out, and interchangeable faceplates just like our headphone shells so you can show off your favorite bands. Pre-orders are available now at shop.heavies.com.
Welcome back to the Podcast That Rocks, weekly podcast that talks about news in the world of rock, metal, alternative, and everything in between. My name is Luke.
My name is Alex.
And my name is Rowan.
Thank you all so much for tuning in with us on this Wednesday evening, or whatever day it is for you, wherever you're listening. Hope you're all doing well. If we get 50 likes on this while we're live, we'll do at least one round of Festival Rock or Flop, where we book a random festival. Last week was goofy, but it worked. I'm trying to be a little bit official when starting the intro of this, because it's an RIP episode of the podcast, because God said, you guys are having too much fun down there. Here, take that.
Ooh,
does that sound right? That sounds right to me.
Yeah.
So in a year like 2025, I have to say that we've been taking a lot of deaths in this year, at least more notable deaths than I've ever seen in a span of less than a year. Does that make sense?
Span of like months, really. It's like, it feels like for the last couple, like 2 or 3 months, it's been all these people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, let's just go into it right now. Again, thank you everyone in the chat for tuning in so much. We're going to go into the others type of news and the more normal stuff that we usually cover, our weekly shenanigans as well. But we need to do a little bit of justice to start our normally ridiculous podcast and talk about some more of the streaming stuff as I pull up Discord and start sharing my screen with my friends, because we lost two big names for big bands in the world of rock, and it would be awful if we did not cover this really quickly, or like right away, I should say, not really quickly. The first one is truly rock royalty, Ace Frehley, 74. After a fall in the studio, he was surrounded by loved ones in the hospital and things like that. They knew it was going to happen. He passed away. The statement came from the band and his family. We are completely devastated and heartbroken. In his last moments, we were fortunate enough to have been able to surround him with loving, caring, peaceful words, thoughts, prayers, and intentions as he left this earth. We cherish all of his finest memories, his laughter, and celebrate his strengths and kindness that he bestowed upon others. Have either of you met Ace at any time or seen him live, anything?
Mm-hmm.
You have? Any thoughts? Yeah. Any thoughts on Ace from you?
He was a cool guy. When I started my journey into becoming a musician, I think everybody is like, oh, Kiss, what is that band? When you're young and you're like, oh, I want to pick up an instrument. Kiss is always a band that gets a little bit of your attention right away when you're young, because of obviously the look. And I started lead guitar when I first got into playing guitar and playing music. So I always kind of thought Ace was awesome, you know, but I quickly moved over to bass. So he was always like that first really big guitar player I knew about.
Right.
As a very small kid. So, and he's really cool in person. I should say.
Yeah, that's a great way to say it. A good description of that as well. Rowan, have you ever seen Ace live or met him?
Unfortunately, haven't, but I did tell both of you guys this. I learned about this after his passing. Turns out my dad's best friend growing up, his dad was the chief of police, and one day, or one night really, back in the 80s, he arrested a drunk Ace Frehley. And
that sounds
we texted 80s, just to make sure Ace, that it was yes. It was Ace.
Yeah, 80s Ace. Fun yes, fact. That's right. Yeah.
Yeah, but what was cool though is that, like, even though he was getting pulled over for being drunk, Ace was super chill about the whole thing. He didn't put up a fight. There was no like, oh, do you know who I am? Nothing good like that. He was so calm and so, and still so nice to the cops that they were like, okay, look, we're just going to bring you to the station. Let's just have you sleep it off. They did. They didn't like charge him with anything. They just let him go the next day. And like, he was like apologizing to you throughout the whole thing. I mean, like it was such a wholesome story, really. And just kind of funny too, because like, again, how often do you arrest a famous rock star?
It's true. No one was hurt in that story. And also, that's also another rock star arrest story that I like that turned out fine. We get a lot of the opposite of that. So make sure you can hear this. I would be remiss if I did not at least play one clip.
Oh my God, I saw this.
That laugh.
I mean, you know, this is part of a kind of a V shape. This is my utility belt, and we don't want to go any below than my waist area because that's reserved for concert players.
But you're kind of like a spaceman, huh?
No, actually, I'm a plumber. I think this outfit is self-explanatory.
You forgot the other part too.
That interview was a 30-minute interview, and he made sure he got his statements in.
I watched like that interview after everything that happened, and not only did Ace steal the show, but I liked it that Gene was clearly upset that he wasn't.
He was enraged because he was not getting all the attention and spotlight and making people laugh. And again, I think Ace might have been a little inebriated, possibly. A touch.
Oh, he was.
Just a smidge. But yeah, it's definitely like if Gene's not getting all the attention, then it has to be serious. It must be something serious. It's business. Now, go ahead.
I was guessing, did you ever see Kiss Meets Phantom of the Park?
I did not see that one. No.
So my mom had that on VHS when I was a little kid, and I found it and I popped it in and I watched it over and over and over and over. And that laugh, super infectious. Right when you played that, I was like, oh,
yep.
Flashback. It is so funny and so cheesy. And just what they created as Kiss was super fun, especially right in those early days.
Yes. And they were always aware of how not to be super serious, except Gene Simmons when he's getting showed up. But they were always aware of what they were doing. They were aware of the cheese and they made it cool. Ace was a huge part of that. Having the guitar that had fire coming out of it while he was playing and things like that, and playing it really well. Ace was instrumental and just so valuable to what made rock cool, and also made Christian conservative moms terrified in the 80s and 70s. Horrified to the point of it going to the government. So, yeah. It sucks. I will say this, though, of the deaths this week, 74, a tragic accident that led to it. He lived an amazing long life, has a legacy forever. I am thankful he got that.
Yeah.
That's all you can hope for, really.
Yeah.
And all of the musicians that he inspired, I mean, it's mind blowing.
Yes.
When you think of, if you ask any guitar players somewhere down the line, I guarantee Ace had some sort of an effect on either them or their direct influences.
Someone just said in the chat, in a world full of genes, be an ace. You know what? That's actually not the worst statement to have or something like this either. Yeah. I'll say that my two things. One, I briefly met Ace at the Revolver Golden God Awards, or Revolver, whatever it was, black carpet in 2016, December in New York City. Like shaking hands, you know, going down the line. He wasn't doing interviews, but he was doing the photos. He's bigger than I thought he'd be. Like he's like Kiss, like members, like range at extreme heights. He's way more taller and bigger than I in real life than I thought he would be. Just something I thought. And this was past his Kiss days too. Number two, go ahead.
I was just and think of the stilettos they wear on top of how tall they are already.
Oh, yeah.
Do they even count as stilettos at that point? Because those are like full on armor platform boots.
I meant platforms. Yeah, my brain said stiletto.
It's like space boots, basically. Yeah. Space boots like, for spaceman.
Yes.
Yeah. We're talking platforms, not stilettos. There's no dainty little heels here.
You have to get on.
Oh my God. Imagine trying to like run and like play guitar in those things.
Have
a core workout right there.
Yes, it would. Or just like trying to like even like stay still for too long without like shaking for an hour and a half. So,
yeah.
Nope.
Number two, I did not see Kiss and Phantom, but I did see Kiss Meets Scooby-Doo. That was an animated film.
Yes, and they did the voices. Yeah.
It's cheese, but you know exactly what you're getting into when you watch it. Okay.
I mean, like, yeah,
they did re-record absolutely all the music for that, by the way, which I thought was pretty cool. Like, they didn't just like cut the tracks into it.
Loud, yeah, played that during that song and that, or like during that segment. And that was my introduction to Kiss, funny enough, because I had like me and my brother, we had like all the Scooby-Doo like DVDs as kids.
Mm-hmm. That sounds right.
That's fun.
So
I really like it. Moving past the Kiss part of Ace Frehley, I really like some of his solo stuff. I dug into and like Rock Soldiers is my favorite solo Ace song. It's a really good song. And if you listen to the lyrics, it's like, all right. And that line, you know, the devil's going to have to find a different ace in his deck or something. I'm like, like what you did there.
He's a good standard for like the guy, the songs, you know, you just don't realize who it's by.
You know, it's kind of funny. Again, after it was only after he died. Now I'm probably going to lose some cred from both you and from everyone in chat here. I didn't know about New York Groove until he died. And then my dad was like, oh, yeah, that was one of my favorite songs when I was a kid. See, and he played it for me. I was like,
until the last 2 weeks, that song was slowly getting forgotten by time, I feel, because it used to be played even when I was like in the 90s, you know, when I was a little kid, I like would see, you'd see that in soundtracks and TV commercials and stuff because of like the groove of it. So, but like, it's just one of those songs. I think it's getting more spins now for obvious reasons.
I was just surprised too, because like I used to be much more into Kiss when I was younger, not just the Scooby-Doo stuff, but I was more into their music. Really loved Detroit Rock City. Mm-hmm. And like, it just kind of like flew under the radar for me, really, when I was more in my more Kiss era.
Not yet. The RIPs do not stop. If you saw the title of this podcast, there's no snark or jokes in the podcast title this time because we unexpectedly lost someone else. And this one was a true shock to the point where I didn't believe it when I found out. I thought, because the way the news broke, it first came from Limp Bizkit's Instagram, written by Fred Durst. And then it was like a good hour before other sites finally started actually confirming it for real. Sam Rivers, founding member and bassist of Limp Bizkit, died in his home at 48. He has had a myriad of health problems over the last 10 years. A lot. He needed a liver transplant. He got that. He's had a lot of issues with substance abuse over these, but he's been sober for a very long time. And this doesn't appear to have any, or the cause of death doesn't appear to have anything related to that from years past. He also had bouts of like issues with cancer. So at 48, he lived through a lot of physical ailments over time that I was not aware of, like to the true depth of everything. And now we know that he's gone at 48. That is way too young. And it also, like, everyone knows my opinions on Limp Bizkit music. It was never about the bass. It was never about the musicians behind Fred Durst. That bassist is an underrated bassist because you know how good the grooves are on everything. And it really does hurt that this is it. And when you see all these photos, how young they all are, including Sam Rivers in like 99 and 2000.
Sam was one of the younger members of the band. Mm-hmm. I think he was like born in like 77. Yeah, 48. So yeah.
Yep.
And if you think of them getting big in the, like the late 90s, early 2000s, he was really young.
Yep.
Yeah. And he was my age when Roland came out.
Yeah. And he was getting all that MTV love behind Fred Durst. He was, and I mean, this is the biggest compliment I could give. He was this one of the sane, normal ones of the band. You know how rare that is for Limp Bizkit? And I mean that seriously, because Limp Bizkit thrived on the insanity, the chaos. And behind that was some of like the thickest bass lines you could imagine. And that helped give Limp Bizkit a lot of credibility in the music itself.
There was a lot of like those bass lines, but also like he brought a lot of melody to his bass lines too, which personally as a bass player, I love it when bass players kind of like bring that extra sort of like personality to the song, really. Sam Rivers, in my opinion, was the best a bassist could be. He not only supported the song, but he also brought his own thing that didn't overshadow anything else, but it just elevated it. He was just an amazing bass player. He went beyond, like above and beyond. Remember like 2 weeks ago when I told you guys about how Bring Me the Horizon, like people did not like it that I liked them. And so I was kind of like embarrassed to say I liked them. It was the same thing with Limp Bizkit, especially like during like the height of like that whole hate train, really. And I totally understand why people don't like Fred Durst. But at the same time, too, it's like I could never get enough of Wes Borland's guitar and especially Sam Rivers' bass. He was just like, I'm not even going to exaggerate. He really is an influence to me as a player.
And that's well said. And I get that. I get why people enjoy a lot of the bass music. Like before 2000, before Chocolate Starfish, I understood a lot more of Limp Bizkit's love for the music behind the Shenanigans. But even that being said, I never once heard a bad word about Sam Rivers.
Because there isn't really any.
Yeah.
Alex, but it was cool because he was more versatile than we actually knew. I had no idea he played guitar on Results May Vary after Wes Borland stepped away.
I was going to say, filled in for a lot of tracks. And I knew some of that. And even though I did not like that album at all, again, it was not on him. That was not a Sam Rivers issue because of that. And I feel... I am really happy, and I mean this, that he got to do the tours with Metallica overseas and all these other things and fill those stadiums again and just kind of go over the past hits and see like old his fans from 20 years ago still show up and know his music. He died way too young, but I'm glad that he got to see a resurgence of that a little bit.
Yeah, I re-listened to All Significant Other after I heard the news. And again, it's just like that whole album really is just filled with so many like great instrumentals. I really do not think the whole album gets enough love. Like, chat, I know we all know Nookie, we all know Break Stuff, but give songs like Trust, 1999, Just Like This, give those all a try. Those are all incredible. Seriously.
Mm-hmm. I'll say this too, and Rowan, I asked you to talk about this a little if you remember. What are the plans going forward? Because they got a tour coming up real soon.
They did, yeah. They haven't really announced it they haven't announced a replacement yet, but apparently they were aware that this was going to happen, so they were planning accordingly. Even according to the police report of Sam's death, apparently it was like a thing where I forget the exact term.
It was like cardiac arrest where it's like, and non-responsive.
Cardiac arrest, but there was like something too where it's like an attended funeral, something like that. But it's like a thing where the person is aware that they are dying. And it's kind of like any moment now. So I'm going to assume that they have kind of like have a contingency in place. But again, the guy was incredible and no one could really replace him.
Mm-hmm. And I hope the best for that tour. That's brutal. Again, as someone who's not a huge Limp Bizkit fan by any stretch, that's the last thing anyone wants to see, especially for someone at 48. So when we say this week has been a bit rough, that's kind of putting it lightly.
Honestly, everything we've said already, 2025 has been so weird. Just one after the other. It's like, boom, boom, boom. What's going on, 2025? Why?
Yeah. And like unexpected accidental deaths too. Like you think about like Mastodon, that was only a couple months ago and no one saw that coming. You think of Ozzy at the end of the road and but it was still such a monumental thing when that happened. So two more months of this year and then we're done. So everyone, just if you feel even slightly sick, just stay home. Make it to 2026 and start over. If you're in the music metal world, rock world, just do it for us, please. Well, that being said, please leave your comments and thoughts in the comment on this video below. We do want to hear it, whether it's Ace or Sam, whichever one. Leave your good moments. Leave the funny interviews. Leave the wild scenes, the wild performances. Kiss and Limp Bizkit have plenty of them on YouTube. Lots of live performances through the decades of fun stuff. It is worth going down that rabbit hole to see. So...
there is, in my opinion, nothing more fun looking than a Limp Bizkit mosh pit.
Yes.
Like you hear Break Stuff play. It's just like the whole crowd is jumping. It's like, oh, I never got the opportunity to see Limp Bizkit live. But my God, I would have loved to have been like on the the Significant Other tour or the Chocolate Starfish tour and just like just going wild. That would have been so amazing.
Alex, have you
for some reason my brain. I have not.
Yeah.
Unless they were randomly at a festival that I, but I have not actively ever watched Limp Bizkit. But I think it would be awesome. I always think back to Woodstock 99 and all of those videos I've seen and all of the crazy mayhem. And then I'm just like, huh, Wonder what like a mosh pit of full on Jenkos would actually look like in the wild.
Well, Woodstock. Well, Woodstock, they were all practically naked by that point. Limp Bizkit got on. So yeah, those mosh pits didn't matter. But I get what you're saying. So yeah, back like think 2001 ish, 2000, let's go 2000, right at that peak Limp Bizkit era when the Jinkos and that attitude was fine. Hair gel everywhere and the spikes, the collar necklaces, oversized black t-shirts. Yeah, all that in the mosh pit. People are tripping over each other. Yeah. And then Sam Rivers just playing a bass line, looking down, it's like, dorks.
That would be so funny. There's people just jumping around, and my brain goes, "Oh, look at the Jenkos! They're like
parachutes." Well, they jumped around too.
Yeah. Oh, we did absolutely.
Oh yeah, chat. Here's another great bass line for you from Sam Rivers. The Truth. It's off The Truth, but it's a great it's a great bass line. Mm-hmm. It's the opening of the song. It's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. Someone else said in the chat, "Please, Grim Reaper, take a break." Or if you're not going to take a break, maybe aim your focus somewhere else for a little while, just a bit.
Yeah, I mean, like, I can think of a lot of people who can, like, you know, who are probably already 1 foot in the door, you know?
No, I get what you're saying. We're not wishing death on anyone. We're just asking maybe the focus take a little less focus on the heavy music community just for a little bit. I feel we paid our dues. Yeah, I feel like we paid enough dues this year. That's something. We do have other news to talk about again, though. Leave comments. Talk about Ace. Talk about Sam. Talk about whatever you want on the YouTube page. We do want to hear stories, too. If you ever met any of these individuals, if you saw them live, whatever it is, leave stories about that, too. That's the fun stuff we want to hear about. So that being said, we are going to move on to some other news, like just like because there is a lot that happened. There's a lot to cover in a wild week like this. We're going to talk a little bit about festival news because the company that does When We Were Young, just had When We Were Young this past weekend, we'll talk about that in a second, also announced Sick New World, this time in Vegas and Texas. So we're going to go over for the Vegas lineup first. In April, same place, Las Vegas Festival Grounds. Very similar to 2024 with some added hits and added misses, in my opinion. Overall, I like this lineup. I'm going to try to zoom out a little bit. There we go. That should be good enough for you guys to see. April 25th, 2026, headlined by System of a Down, Korn, and Bring Me the Horizon, Evanescence. Danny Elfman's returning, which is awesome. If you don't understand, if you're still thinking, why would I want to see that? Show up. You'll be convinced.
And is that our Corey Feldman? Dang it.
Danny Elfman's slightly more successful in the music world at times.
No. Like every time somebody brings up Corey Feldman, you're like, you have to see it. It's a spectacle.
But this is only for good reasons, though. This is only because we know how good it is.
So. I don't want to be like, is that how you feel? And I'm like, Danny Elfman was awesome.
No. You saw Danny Elfman too, so you can at least attest to that. So
good.
Yes. So do I love everything about this lineup? No. But however, before I open the floor to both of you, the other festival lined up for Sick New World will be Sick New World Texas, right outside of Dallas and Fort Worth. System of a Down, Deftones, and Slayer selling 40 years of Rain and Blood. And then they have a lot of similar bands, but what are some of the other differences, including The Prodigy? Pretty cool stuff. There's a lot of crossover. Death Heaven's going to be in Texas. That's one of the bummer ones I wish was in Vegas, but whatever. We'll get there when we get there. So, do I love everything about the lineups? No. I made it very clear. This is not an Alex or Rowan stance. This is a me stance. I don't love they're putting Marilyn Manson on main stage in 2026 in Vegas with, how do I put this? Creepy Edgelord fan base is going to be Creepy Edgelord in Vegas around a lot of people. I don't love that. And when you go to the Las Vegas Festival Grounds, it gets crowded real quick, as I'm going to show you in a moment. And if there's creepy Manson fans all it takes is one, maybe just one creepy Manson fan. Boy, there's going to be a lot of people in for a world of hurt. That's just me. Don't take that at Alex or Rowan. That's my stance. Send your hate mail to me and say Alex and Rowan, they're nice. So. Website has all the other official information as it comes out. I've never been to Texas outside of the airport. That does not count. However, I know a lot of people are saying they would go to this for the Texas one.
Oh, I would so go to the Texas one.
Mm-hmm. So we're to go up to this, though. Alex and I were both at Sick New World in Vegas 2024. Quite enjoyed it. So, Alex, I'll give you the floor first for the Vegas one. Thoughts on the Vegas lineup?
I honestly, I'm kind of in the minority here. Okay. I prefer the Vegas lineup over the Texas lineup.
Okay.
I really? Love Korn. Yes, I know. I'm definitely in the minority. I love Korn. I love Bring Me the Horizon. I love Evanescence. Danny Elfman was so fun. I would be super stoked to see that again.
Yes.
Who else is on that one? Ministry. That would be super fun. Wage War is really good. KMFDM is really fun.
Scowl and Health are on there. Those are two that I love.
Scowl. I really want to see Scowl.
Bloodywood too. They've been a quick favorite.
Bloodywood. Absolutely. Kitty. Like, I personally am just more aligned with the Sick New World Vegas lineup for 2026. I mean, Deftones, Slayer, Evanescence,
right.
System of a Down, of course. That's a super rad. And I do kind of feel like I would miss the Prodigy because I love the Prodigy.
Yeah.
But I still prefer Vegas over Texas for sure.
Fairway said. And also, I like the Vegas lineup too, more than overall. Like, I'm enjoying it. I want to go. I'm just saying I don't love every aspect of it. Every single thing is like, this is Luke Fest. This is the dream come true. I still like this though. I'm happy with it. I would go.
I'm surprised too, by the way. This is a, I don't know if either of you guys know this band. I see Twin Tribes is on the bill for the Vegas show. That's a Mexican goth band. I didn't even think, like, I'm so just they surprised.
Have a, okay, I don't know, Alex, if you remember, what are their stages with straight up goth music? Like, they have She Wants Revenge. They had some other stuff on there, too, like on the fifth stage. It was nothing but that. Yeah.
Thank you for bringing that up. She Wants Revenge is coming back again to Vegas.
Yeah.
No, like, it was super cool. It was like Combi Christ, She Wants Revenge. Ministry might have even been there.
Three Teeth was on that stage too for the industrial side.
Three Teeth, yeah. So 2023, 2024 kind of blend over each other in my brain for lineups. Yeah. But that goth, like industrial vibe stage.
Yeah.
Was super rad.
So for the three side stages, two main stages, three side stages, if they do the same format for 2026. But one stage was definitely like the emo industrial stage. Then they had the hardcore stage, which was covered and like a lower stage. So they definitely organized that really well. And they're the rotating stages. So you never waited for the next band.
So, it was awesome. Yeah, that was the first time I saw them debut that. And that was so smart.
Mine too. Like, that was like, I know it's been around for a while, but like when it works, it's amazing. There were some bands that had some audio issues. I remember Motionless and White had audio issues with that. But at the same time, like, it's just part of the system with how that goes. So that being said, Rowan, you're a more of a proponent for the Texas one. And I get it.
Yeah.
So thoughts on the Texas one?
I think the Texas one is just a very, very solid lineup. It's just like there isn't a band I don't like. So, and again, that's just and there's bands I love that I can't find on the Vegas one. Like, I love Death Heaven. I love Slayer. I've already seen Slayer, but I mean, like, it's Slayer. You got to see them again. Like, Deftones too.
Yeah.
It's just, I would love it if I could like switch out some stuff too, but nothing like crazy. This is still like between the two of them. I just love this. It still has like all the ones that I would kill to see some of these bands live and see them all together. Like, of course.
Yeah. So I'm going to go over a few things now. Tickets are the tickets are available now. Tickets are not cheap. I will go over that in a little bit. So one thing I want to point out, though, because the same company that puts these festivals on is owned that also owns When We Were Young, that just happened this past weekend at the same place in Vegas. My lovely wife, Gretchen, who's in the chat right now somewhere, sent me some TikToks of what happened when we were young. For the most part, it seemed like it went okay and better than last year. It was not as much of a madhouse as last year. Not oversold by 10,000 people. However, some of our favorite festival shenanigans happened again. I have to make sure this is muted because they play music. This is VIP. Merch line missed two sets. This is under one of the shaded areas. Seating was limited and everyone was body to body on the ground. And this is all day.
This is the VIP area.
Correct. It did not feel very VIP for a festival. VIP wasn't worth it. According to When We Were Young. Disappointing experience for the money we paid. Pros, close bathrooms, a close bar. Thoughts from others in VIP. So I like that this was presented this way. Because a lot of the performances went well, from what I understand. There was no real delays or anything. The weather was not brutally hot. However, they do the same thing at many other festivals. Riot Fest has this issue sometimes, even though it's not as hot. Other festivals as well. Shade right here should not be a luxury. No, 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 no. So that's a me thing. And that's every festival, you name it, from DWP festivals all the way to independent radio station festivals. So When We Were Young happened, people seemingly thought it went well. It's going to be at the same grounds in April. I hope they figure things out for Shade, which is, they don't have to do the fans. Just go. It's like literally go to Home Depot, get these rafters, build them, and just set up more shade for GA. That's it. That's not that bad. They can afford this. So I also, so tickets will be not cheap. $300 for general admission for one day. GA. VIP is going to $600 to $800 plus for one person one day. VIP, you get a lot closer. You do get perks with it. But Vegas is expensive. And from what it looks like, Texas is going to be the same, because it's going to be at like a speedway in Dallas, like an actual, I don't know if it's a NASCAR speed, like, but actual racing speedway in Texas. So keep that in mind. Festivals will not get cheaper ever again.
No, thanks, greedy CEOs. Appreciate it.
That is correct. That is absolutely correct. Because when you look at half this lineup, like look from Knocked Loose down, even bands like Cypress Hill and Mastodon, they're not demanding bajillions of dollars a performance. Okay. So they're definitely, the company putting these on is definitely raking in a lot of profit off every ticket. A lot. So,
yeah.
Any other thoughts on the lineups before we move on?
I like them. That's it.
Yeah. Lineups are fine.
I really like them.
Yeah. I like the lineups too. Overall, I do like them. I'm just hoping for the best.
Everything covered.
Yeah. I'm just hoping for the best, and I hope they don't get canceled again because people don't buy tickets because they're too expensive or they don't like the lineups.
I'm so glad that we have this after the fiasco last year. This is a nice breath of fresh air.
Yes. Also, $10 million for two bands last year, Metallica and Linkin Park. I'm just thinking how much money they're saving on this lineup because they didn't get Metallica and Linkin Park. And they still have a stronger lineup this year.
No disrespect to Metallica. I know we all like Metallica. Yes. You know, they're legends. You could see Metallica so many other times, so many other places across the country.
And Linkin Park had a fatty tour.
Metallica is never not touring.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And Linkin Park had a fatty tour this year all around the world. So, yeah, this feels more right. Korn's going to have new stuff coming out next year, apparently. Bring Me the Horizon's working on new stuff as well. They said they were going to take a break, but then they decided, nah, never mind. So, we shall see. We now go on to good news. You guys want some good news now, finally? Yeah, yes,
please.
Number one, Judas Priest were very pleased to donate $100,000 to the Los Angeles Fire Department after all the fires. They played a show at the Kia Forum on October, and they said, you know what? Screw it. We're going to give $100,000 to all those families that lost legit everything. Right?
Yay.
Mm-hmm. Here, you know what? There you go. I just feel like this rarely gets the attention it deserves. For stuff like this, you know, like bands actually go, like bands that are so successful playing sold out shows, you're like, no, they can take this money. They need this. We like, clearly we don't need $100,000 extra. Here you go. So I want to make sure that was given the right stuff. And also those are actual LAFD firefighters standing with them. You know, some of them are like, holy crap, holy crap, holy crap.
Oh yeah. They've probably been listening to them since they were kids. Yeah, yeah,
probably. And they're like,
because it's Rob Halford.
Don't say anything stupid. Don't say anything stupid. You know, that type of thing. Do you think they let Judas Priest on? Do you think they let the band on the fire truck and ride around with them? Because that'd be kind of cool.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, that'd be awesome. If I was one of the firemen, I would offer.
Yeah, you'd have to. Like, you'd have to offer, right?
Guys,
no. Yeah, guys, no. No, we're just going to ride around town. I don't care if it costs us money. Fine. You guys are riding with us. We have to. We have to. Film everything, by the way. Everyone get their cell phones out. We're filming this entire thing.
I'm just imagining Rob fire truck hanging Rob out the window.
Ooh, yeah. Rob
hanging out the window of the fire truck. And I'm just driving. I'm like, was that Rob Halford just hanging out in the fire truck?
Tipton's in that big bucket that goes up the ladder, you know, like hanging out, like just riding back and back with his guitar. See?
Funny.
Good news right here. Also, I got to find the right story. Good news. In the world of good news for metal, one Gina Gleason of Baroness Master Shredder got married this past weekend. Another one.
Congratulations.
See? She's wearing a nice white suit with her partner, by the way. There's all of Baroness in a blurry haze because the photographer was so drunk they didn't even affect the camera. But yeah, everyone had fun.
Did you hear that Rob Halford got married too? And he kind of secretly snuck away and married his partner last year.
With his long-term partner, yes.
Yeah, so. I thought that was awesome. For like
decades.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was like a super little private thing though, and like there, it has come out recently, and I was like, oh hey, congratulations, that's fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
This is so cool. I just saw Gina too, so like this is sick.
Mm-hmm. So see, good things are happening in the world. People get married. Exactly. People get married. People are donating to others in need. There's some nice things going on. In interesting news, and I'm not going to ever claim to know Japanese politics. Sorry, I'm already up to my neck with American politics right now. However, the new prime minister, the first woman prime minister of Japan, is not only a drummer, but she's also a heavy metal drummer and a big fan. The subtitle revolver, goodness. The Iron Lady is a huge fan of Maiden and Margaret Thatcher. Goodness, Revolver.
Is that her nickname in politics?
I think someone else gave her that name, yes. And you know what? It's legit. Quote from her, the new prime minister. When I was in elementary school, I started listening to Black Sabbath, Paranoid, Sabbath, Bloody Sabbath, and things like that. Takaichi, I think I'm pronouncing that right. Takaichi said, then when I got to middle school, Deep Purple came out, and then Burn and Smoke on the Waters and so on. And I got into that. She also recently did a podcast with Baby Metal. So, once again, other countries are out-meddling America.
We got to catch up. Can we elect some metalheads in office? Like, you know something with elections coming up, especially for New York? You want me to vote for you? Tell me what your music is.
Dude, why aren't we campaigning like that in the United States? We would.
What? Why aren't politicians being more open? It's like, oh yeah, I love Maiden or I love Priest, you know? That would be sick.
Great, terrible idea I just had. So you know how so many boomers are upset when musicians get political? Well, fine, boomers. Now our politicians are going to get musical. That's right. We're switching it around to make it more obnoxious. And like they just have to list out on there, not their bullet points for like what they're like resolving to do, but their top five bands. And that's it.
That could get kind of messy, though. They'd be like, I'm voting for Clint Black, not this Metallica.
Mm-hmm.
I would love to think that, like, if it did become a thing where you had to ask, like, a politician for their music taste, their PR team is probably going to try and, like, think of, like, the best.
Oh, yeah. Like, going to get a Gen Z, like, media person is like, okay, go on Spotify, look up the popular bands.
Be like, okay, look here, future potential congressman, you love Sabrina Carpenter, that's it. Okay, that's it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or something like Billie Eilish.
Yeah, I listened to the Rolling Stones when I was a kid. Ooh, and that's it.
If there's a governor debate and like the moderator goes, okay, sir, name three Metallica songs post Black Album. It's just stuff like
would
that
would be more interested.
Yeah, see, people would actually pay attention to those governor politics. Races. Yeah.
Yeah. So.
If a governor came up on a debate and it's like, oh yeah, I listened to deathcore. I just saw Lord of Shore. I just saw I Declare War. I went crazy in the pit. I'm a crowd killer. I'm like, oh yeah, you're cool. You got my vote, buddy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm into the heavy stuff too. Sir, what's the last concert you went to? Yellow Card? Oh, well, okay. Moving on quickly. So anyone in the comments would like to educate us about Japanese politics, feel free. Again, I'm not going to claim to know them. Sorry. However, metal leadership, that's something, you know, it's something. Also, nice picture of her standing in front of the pull down classroom map and just her giving the horns. You know, that's a politician photo. Even just doing that would be a step up. You know, let's try that at least for a start. Yeah.
Can our politicians act like normal human beings again with their own personalities?
Some of them don't have that, so you can forget about that. So,
yeah,
two things I want to talk about. One is a good thing, and Alex, I know because you talked about Typo Negative a couple of weeks ago. I asked you to take a lead on this a little bit because this is a potentially big deal for what it could be.
Yeah, I'm super stoked about the Okay, so fans of Typo Negative, obviously, since we lost Peter Steele, mm-hmm. dreaming of new Typo music that will never come. We super bummer, and everybody's super stoked to hear that we may have a live album coming out mm-hmm. featuring a full band. So we've got some posthumous stuff coming out. I got to pull up the interview real quick. Kenny sure. Hickey like broke it all down, and he's like, whoa. We have a live Typo Negative album that it could be coming album. Out. I mean, it's a long rumored, like bootleg. I can't remember where they did it. Looks like they did it in Brooklyn. So we've got like this live album recorded at the L'Amour Club in Brooklyn.
Okay.
And they're working on putting all of these pieces together for this live album. And that's nuts. We'd never expected that to actually happen.
I kind of do like that they had all this stuff and at least saved it till now, with like the technology now, to make sure it's clean enough to do, as opposed to doing like in 2002, where probably wouldn't it has been as finished and something that could be polished a little more. Maybe that's just me, but
I think it'll be great. It's, well, like you said, with the new technology, mm-hmm. and this is going to be the first official album since Dead Again from 2007. Mm-hmm. So this is going to be super cool. It's been almost 20 years since we had yeah. new music from Typo. And obviously we lost Peter Steele. So yeah.
If they're working on the mixing and the artwork, then that means the hardest stuff is over to get this album to us. So you know what? That's pretty cool.
Oh yeah.
So we shall see. No dates yet or anything like that for all the Typo Negative fans. So again, though, good news. And now we move on. I want both of your thoughts on this. So, today is a day that ends in Y, and that means Axl Rose is going to throw something. For those who are not aware, Axl Rose had another hissy fit on stage. And it's not exactly what everyone thinks it is. However, I have to have it muted because, again, the bots will come after this. At a live show in Argentina. Goodness. South America finally gets Guns N' Roses again, and this is what happens. He was apparently having issues with his in-ear monitor. Many people thought he was angry at the drummer, which is not true. It was just the drummer was in the way. First of all, come on, old man. Don't throw stuff at the drummer. He's got his own problems dealing with that crap. Number two, the in-ear monitor was not working, apparently, whether it was a clicker or not, don't know. But that was the issue, and he couldn't get it fixed. That's when he started screaming, like you see him right now, stamping around, throwing his jacket off, throwing the microphone, screaming. He runs and kicks the kick drum himself, the front of it. By the way, I know that's part of the kit and stuff. I'm just thinking, if anyone touches the drums in a bad way, usually that gives the drummer the right to kind of unalive you in the back alley afterward.
Wow, that yeah. escalated so quickly.
Think about how many drummers yeah. would freak out if you tried to mess with their drums. You saw Step Brothers, right? The movie?
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, there you go. So, thoughts on Axl Rose? Still thinking it's 1991. Alex?
Well, even... Oh, sorry.
Rowan, whatever. Alex, Rowan, I don't care who goes.
I was just going to say, Axl pulling an Axl. Wow, thank you. Yeah, shocker.
It's the jacket thing. He's like... Rah, 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 rah. Like
yeah, no, he's having like another hissy fit. Yeah. But what I was going to say is that like... Even going as far back as the 90s for that very famous, like, oh, thanks to the lame ass security, I'm going home. As soon as something doesn't go his way, even if it's the most inconsequential thing, easy to fix, he just stops the whole show and he yes. just runs off on stage, has a tantrum. And it's like so many other musicians, even when things get bad, like they try to keep the show going. They try to keep the audience entertained. Axl feels like he just has like the most, he's just like the most spoiled person when it comes to a show. It has to go exactly how he wants it to, or else it's not happening. And I don't understand why we keep supporting it. He doesn't have the voice to warrant the support anymore. I'm sorry to say it. His voice is gone. It's not the 80s anymore. Like, in my opinion, Guns N' Roses just aren't where they are and like where they were at anymore. I don't know why we still see him as such a big ticket item. They have not really proven the worst yet.
At least he's not. At least he didn't start a riot. That's true, especially in Argentina with soccer riots. That's very true.
If I have to say, at least a riot didn't happen. That's not necessarily good.
I know Alex. Well, Alex, you go first, and I'll say mine.
How many Guns N' Roses riots did we have? I mean, I could think of two really big ones off the top of my head.
The St. Louis and Montreal. Tour. Yeah.
Yeah.
Montreal, yes, yeah. Metallica, yeah.
Yep.
That's like, I always love it because I graduated high school in that St. Louis venue. Like, cause they have the big high schools do graduation there. So that's the one they had the riot at with Guns N' Roses. That was the first week of its opening. That venue at that time was brand spanking new and it got destroyed that way. So yeah, that's St. Louis legend. So
bit of a controversial take. I see Guns N' Roses the same way I see Motley Crue. I feel like they were good at one point. I can appreciate all the influence they had, all the music they made, but at the same time too, they just like,
I would not go that far, but suck. I get the art. I would not go that far for how much they suck live, because one Slash.
Yeah, Slash is like, yeah. Slash and Duff are like, yeah.
they are
the exceptions.
Yeah. Also, Alex, you might feel this because you've seen Slash live. I think Road, you might have seen him also. Does anyone else feel a
little? I've seen Bumblefoot live.
Yeah. Has anyone else feel bad for Slash just a little with when all this happens? Like a little bit?
I mean, kind of. I'm with Rowan on that one. Like Duff and Slash, both. Last time I saw Guns N' Roses was at Power Trip, and
okay. Awesome. Yeah. Okay. There you go. So
not the Axl part. The Duff.
No. I got that. Slash yeah. part was awesome. See, that's the thing though. Like last time I saw Motley Crue was laughable. Last time I saw Guns N' Roses, it was what it was expected. So maybe that's why my mind sees it a little differently. However, Rowan's view of that, I can't argue. Like, I get it. Axel's not doing well. And then when he acts like this, someone said in the chat, go to bed, Grandpa. I think that's where he was going. Like, he might have just said, screw it. Yeah.
I don't get it. You know, don't throw a fit. Like, this dude, what I heard was his inner monitors weren't working and all he could hear was the drums. He couldn't hear anything but the percussion. So, of course, he's going to be like, I'm going to go kick the drum kit. Like, that's not how you react as a grown adult.
But he's been doing this for decades and he never learns. And he just acts super entitled. But we still don't really ever seem to punish him for it. So he doesn't really have any incentive to try and change his behavior.
Can I just say
he
also,
still gets like big money from these people who still think he's how he was in the 80s. How the
Guns
N'
Roses diehards will never take this as a sign that something's wrong. But can I say this also, just watching the clip again on screen, that drummer just kept going. He's like, whatever. Yeah. All right. Keep going.
That's how you do it.
He is a pro. That drummer said, yeah, that's right. This isn't the first time.
Props to that drummer. I hope he got well compensated for having to put up with this crap.
I hope he at least got an apology for something.
Ugh. Yeah. I forget exactly what the show was, but like Axl was like literally 2 hours late to a show.
Oh, for ours, and then it was 45.
They finally came up on stage and everyone's like so fed, they just started booing them. And Axl just kind of like walked off like in the middle of the first song. How can you do that and still support the band? If you're 2 hours late for a show.
That's part of the lore. Like, it's like, oh, Axl showed up 3 hours late to this one. I think they were a couple hours late to Power Trip. That's also part of the lore. It's what's Axl going to cry about? What's he going to scream about? How late is he going to be? Is he even going to show up?
Yep. You're going to charge hundreds of dollars. And I'm supposed to just go in there expecting a crash out and an early end.
Yeah. And it's also like stuff like Power Trip, when I saw them at Louder Than Life and stuff like that, those were not comfortable arena shows where you're inside an AC. You are standing outside in the middle of a nasty field with the grossest people sweating around you, not knowing when he's going to show up. That sucks.
Yeah. And you're spending hundreds of dollars to be here. What, mm-hmm. like, what are you getting out of this? You're getting a subpar vocalist.
63.
Who might lead the stage.
For everyone listening on the podcast feed, I have his age. He is 63 years old, and he's still doing that.
That's not that old.
That's not how you act.
63 years old. Still having the high school hissy fits, like a bad high school Battle of the Bands performance. You know, that type of thing. Leave it. You guys are awful. You blew it. Just stamp off. Moving on.
Yucky.
Yeah. Well, he's heard yucky probably a lot also in his gross career. Moving on, though, because we do have some other cool things to talk about. Number one, Pussifer is back in the news because they made their big announcement. New album and new tour in 2026. New song. Maynard James Keenan is back. He's working with his other bands as well because they said A Perfect Circle is in the slow writing process. But yeah, new Pussifer song.
Same with Tool.
Yeah, same with Tool. New Pussifer song. pretty good. I really like it. Self-evident. It's way better than the Pussifer Primus collab they did, which was weird for the sake of being weird. This is a real song. This is good. I like it. So I do recommend that. New album comes out next year. Lots of fun. I forget the name of the album because my brain is shot at this point. The new song is Self-Evident.
Normal Isn't.
Thank you. Normal Isn't is the name of the new album. So cool stuff for that. Also, before we get to that, I want to go through our song of the week. It's my turn. And it also goes into the news that we got new Bad Omens music again today. Not the official an album announcement, but you know what? New song? Pretty solid. I think it's worthy of song of the week. Dying to Love. I'd love to play some of it for you, but YouTube will have a fit. So Bad Omens, Dying to Love came out today. It's really good. Like, it's well done. So I'm hoping we get a new album announcement soon because they've been playing the singles teases for a while now, and they are riling up all the girls on TikTok, and they're making them want more and more Bad Omens, and it's not fair. Bad Omens is absolutely TikTok gold, by the way. If you want to start your TikTok channel, just play some Bad Omens clips. You're set.
Eddie Core.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. That was a big thing last year.
Mm-hmm.
Hashtag baddie core. Yeah, them. So it's them, Motionless and White. Who else is on the baddie core train? I know there's a third.
Deftones.
Deftones is on there. Yeah, because like they fit into that vibe. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sweet Token.
Yeah, it fits under the vibe. Yes.
I think some Spirit Box songs too.
Baddie core. Yeah. Was it sex metal? Something like that.
Yes. Sex metal. Yeah. Honestly, you know what? That's not a bad festival we're building. That's going to sell. Deftones, Sleep Token, Motionless and White, Bad Omen, Spirit Box. You know that sell.
I charge like 150 a ticket. That's fair, right?
Oh, 150.
All day festivals.
And it's sell out. Absolutely sell out for something like that, too.
Yeah.
Pay extra $5. We'll give you shade. I'm just kidding. Only $250. Anyway.
You pay for shade. We have like a $10 Dasani water bottles, which is just
like filthy. Is this Dasani?
I wanted Voss. Thank you. Like the airport water. The super nice fancy ones. Yeah. So we now go back to last week and we'll get to the super chats. Thank you. If you still have super chats, keep them coming. We get our light goal. Festival's coming. However, I just want to go this right now. Last week's album versus album was chosen by one Rowan, a bit of metalcore 2000s hype. And it was this album versus album was not close, with Killswitch Engage's As Daylight Dies winning by a 2/3 margin against Trivium's Shogun. Over 3,000 votes. Yeah, I'm going to say that's a pretty strong showing for Killswitch Engage. Still love Trivium Shogun, though. Good poll.
Oh, yeah, no, they're great albums. That was the thing, too. I was like reading the comments both like here in our chat and then like on your post. Mm-hmm. A lot of people were saying As Daylight Dies, but they kept saying it's very close.
Yeah, like it's as it should be.
Like it's almost like arbitrary at that point. Like I just happen to like this album a little bit more.
Yeah. Also, and this is what drives me nuts. Please, everyone, tell your friends about the podcast that rocked. It's the three of us. Someone left a comment. Luke carefully constructing the hardest polls you've ever seen in your life. I didn't make this poll.
Hey,
that wasn't me. I have this week's poll. Guess what I chose?
You have this guy to thank for making you choose between two of your favorite children.
Yes, two of your edgy 2000s angry metalcore children who did not get attention in the 2000s, by the way. You know they didn't. You just know they didn't get enough attention. It sucks, but that's the truth. Which I'm typing in this week's poll album versus album. And while we get that going, I apologize for slowing things down, but I want to do this. And then we'll get to the upcoming albums and tours because I want people to vote. So...
Is it going to be like something crazy that we're going to have to
it's not decide crazy. Between? In honor of Judas Priest doing something so awesome, I decided to go with Judas Priest album versus album, Screaming for Vengeance or Painkiller. Which one?
Oh, Painkiller. Painkiller easily for me.
Easily for Painkiller. Okay, Alex, any thoughts?
Easily.
I don't know.
It's a little bit harder when I sat down and thought about it too, because there's so much like amazing musician and craftsmanship in Screaming for Vengeance. These albums are 8 years apart, if I'm correct. I could be wrong on the timeline, but they're not as far off in the timeline.
It was 1990.
Right. And I think Screaming for Vengeance was 82. I could be wrong about that specifically, but it's not as long of a gap as people think.
Oh yeah. 82 to 90.
So 82 and 90, right?
Yeah. That's a hard one. I think I'm going to have to go Screaming for Vengeance, though.
Okay.
Really?
Electric Eye. Yeah. Electric Eye really always gets me grooving.
The guitar work
Electric
on Screaming
Eye's
for
great,
Vengeance.
But like,
the guitar work on Screaming for Vengeance is so amazing for what it, at that time too, when not everyone's like the British, the new wave of British heavy metal owes so much Screaming for Vengeance. Then again, Painkiller was the impossible. How are you guys so good at everything? At this point,
you know, the title track has some of the best guitar work ever, and like the rest of it, Hell Patrol, Nightwalker, All Guns Blazing. That is legit my favorite Judas Priest album.
Okay, no, I get it too.
I kind of feel what Luke's talking about too. Coming out in 1982, I'm a nerd. I know you guys know this already, but I was watching a documentary the other day about like all of that British, you know, that wave of British heavy metal in the early 80s, like the Def Leppard and the Judas Priest. And I think the timing of that one is really important too, because coming out in 1982, just as everything started kind of getting into that metal is taking over the world kind of vibe.
British new wave of heavy metal. The thrash scene was exploding in the 80s in the States and in Germany. I mean, so much was going for metal in different areas. Judas Priest and Iron Maiden had a hard lock on UK, all through England, all through Europe, you know, and then coming over to the United States and owning it too.
Now, to that point, if we're just talking like cultural impact, would you say that Painkiller doesn't also have like some, because like in 1990, hair metal was pretty much out the door. Grunge was becoming the thing. The big thing too, alternative.
I will
music,
say this. Yeah, big. I do love the Painkiller. I do love the Painkiller and Judas Priest. They said, no, we're not chasing any trends on something like this. We're doing whatever we want. They did that on Turbo maybe, but not this.
Yeah.
So it's a hard pull, and that's why I chose it. Also, like if Judas Priest does something cool like that, that's like, let's do something for the classic rock, the new wave, you know, let's do something like this. I'm curious to see what people vote. That poll is on the YouTube page as well. So if you're listening on the podcast feed, I'll leave a link to that. While people are voting in the live chat, everyone in the chat right now, like they're already going at it as well. So I'm going to try to hide. I've like hidden the results for me until the end. Let's go for some upcoming albums and tours, because some got announced pretty big or fun tours, I should say. Alex, what tours can we look forward to coming up that got announced this past week?
We already talked about Sick New World hitting not only Vegas in April of 2026, as we're expecting, but also October, I believe, in Texas.
Yes.
So that is huge. That's a huge announcement that just came. Bad Flower are hitting the road in 2026. That's going to be really fun. If you've never seen Bad Flower, a newer rock band, I really enjoy everything they've put out so far. It's very hit you in the feels kind of rock.
Mm.
We've got Rush. They expanded their 2026 reunion tour. So in addition to all of the dates we've already told you about, which sold out so fast, they've expanded it and they're now hitting a couple of additional cities. So that's super rad. Stay on top of that pre-sale. I believe one of the pre-sales starts tomorrow and then general on sale is Halloween Day.
Yeah.
But so, I guarantee it'll sell out in the pre-sale.
No news yet about my idea for the Sphere. I want to cut, but we'll find out when it happens. So.
Bon Jovi will be returning to the stage in 2026. Crobot and the Atomic Bitchwax announced a North American tour. Pussifer just announced a tour with their new album announcement for 2026. Biohazard have a revamped touring schedule following some cancellations. Echo and the Bunnymen are hitting the road later this year and in 2026. Electric Callboy announced some new North American, Japan, and Australia tour dates. And Gary Numan is hitting the road later this year and next year.
So a lot of big stuff happening. You can check out, like, play this backwards if you want to see, or just in reverse if you want to hear some of these tours again. They're on all the socials. They're on all the sites for each band. I'll have some of this on rock.net as well. So that being said, we got some albums coming out October 24th. Rowan, what do we have to look forward to?
First of all, we got an EP from the Japanese metalcore band Cold Rain. Cold Rain are amazing guys. They did they did one of the songs for this anime called Fire Force, which is really awesome. It's called Mayday. It's a great song. Give that a listen. Been a fan ever since. Can I ask you guys a quick question? Do you guys like the two-step?
Ska two-step or different type of two-step?
Like deathcore two-step or hardcore two-step.
Sure.
Well, you can two-step on these nuts who are releasing a new album called Swadad this Friday. Boom, got him.
Cringe.
Cringe. Cringe.
Ah, chat, fill the chat with Gotthams. I did. I got him. Yeah.
Oh no, Ruin was muted from Discord. It's almost as if I have mod duties on Discord. I can mute him whenever I choose. Rats. Well, Alex and I'll be taking over the rest of the podcast this week. Alex, how are you doing?
I am fantastic, Luke. Thank you for asking.
Awesome. So good to hear that you're doing well. Thank you for tuning in and just helping out with so much and not pulling the worst third grade one-liners ever and thinking it's hilarious, right?
Yeah.
Also, if any of Rowan's family is there, he needs an oxygen tank in his room right now. He's apparently really losing steam. So
I'm fine. Okay, yeah.
Goodness.
So we got D's Nuts. Yes, that's their actual name.
That's their name, yes.
We got Dayseeker coming out, Creature in the Black Night. I've been liking the single so
Gretchen.
Far. Hey, Shock. Yeah, what's up, buddy? Yeah, Dayseeker are coming out too. I'm excited about that. Me and my friends like the singles well enough. I'm really excited about the Acacia Strain, who are coming out with You Are Safe From God Here. When I was pulling this list together and I saw that name, that was such a throwback to me. When I was first getting into deathcore, like, that was one of the first bands I got into. We're talking about, like, favorite songs and favorite albums. I re-listened to Wormwood because, like, that's how like nostalgic I was, like, feeling. If you guys want a good laugh, listen to Tactical Nuke. It's like the closing track off that album and it's hilarious. I'm not gonna tell you why, you just gotta listen and trust me. Mammoth, you know, Wolfgang Van Halen's band, he's coming out with The End. Really excited about that. Wolfgang, I mean, like, he's an amazing musician. I think, does he still do like all the instruments himself? Or is it just guitar?
On record, like recordings, he does a lot of them himself. I don't know if he does them all still, but he does a lot.
Yeah, but he's solid. Yeah,
he is.
I really enjoy him. Yeah. Serge Tankian is coming out with covers, collaborations, and collages. You know, just really awesome when Serge kind of releases new stuff. I always enjoy whatever he brings out. He always brings a lot of fun to whatever project he gets on. Mm-hmm. And then finally, Soulfly is coming out with Chama, if I'm pronouncing that right. Soulfly is the new metal band by the Cavalera brothers from Sepultura. So again, really solid stuff, really great stuff. I'm really looking forward to this week, and that's all I could say.
Very nice. We now go to Super Chats while people are voting. From Ellie Eats, really big loss. Ace Frehley was many things, rock icon, great musician, comedic relief, and of course, the spaceman. But most of all, he was our favorite plumber. Look, it's rock and roll. Well said, Ellie Yeats. He is our favorite plumber. From HT Jason, both amazing musicians gone, not even within a week. Man, this has been a crappy year for metal. Yes, it really has. It's been an odd year for metal, just across the board. So, and finally from Neurotic Place. Sorry, I had to lean over just to make sure I had the name right. After months of listening to your VODs, I am usually asleep when you are alive. The life of Graveyard Shift. I will take this one time I get to watch live to show support. Excited for the pun of the week. Well, Alex, you not only have someone excited to listen live, they're staying up late. So pressure's on when we get to that point. But we have, for everyone listening, Alex like went into a trance at that moment, getting into the zone. Rowan has finally calmed down and caught his breath after his one-liner. So,
it was a good one. Chat agrees with me.
Two people in chat did agree with you. Yes, two people.
Several people in chat agree with me, not just two.
Yes, several is two. Yes, that's correct. So,
No.
We now go
chat,
to Festival Rock or Flop.
You like the joke.
Alex and Rowan, are you ready to book some festivals?
Hell yeah, bro.
All right. Every week when we get a like goal or get super chats to a certain point, we play Festival Rock or Flop. We book four random festivals in the middle of nowhere and hope for the best. We just hope for the best. They're random. I updated the folder a little bit, shuffled things around. I don't know what we're going to get, but this is so that way everyone knows I'm not cheating. It's as random as it gets. The first one will be our festival. We'll name it after we get the bands. Here we go. Or do we want to call it Battycore Fest? Just because we were talking about that.
Yeah.
Well, let's call it Battycore Fest and let's hope we
and
either
just
get
the most trashiest bands. Worst. Oh, goodness. Yeah.
Like we get Five Finger Death Punch or
all right,
something.
All right, you TikTok baddies. This festival is for you. Band number one. Knuckle Puck. You could do worse, ladies. You could do worse. Some pop.
You're not showing
this
thing, by the way.
Oh, I'm not. I apologize. I'm not.
Nah, it's at the Bad Omens video.
Is it not showed? Oh, I get what's going on. Okay, let me show you. I apologize. Change stream. I need to share the screen with you, not just that window. I apologize. Can you see it now?
Yep.
Alex? Okay, sorry about that. I added on the wrong thing. Knuckle Puck, band number two for Battycore Fest. Static X, ladies, you are in for a treat. Number three, Jelly Roll. Okay, I don't know if Jelly Roll really fits Battycore, but...
They like a dad bod.
Not anymore. He's lost like 200 pounds.
Now he's at dad bod.
Yeah, he's in shape dad bod. There you go. And number four, yeah. Dorothy. Okay, Jelly Roll and Dorothy, I can actually see working together a little bit on the same bot, on the same stage. Okay. Knuckle Puck and Static X throw a wrench into Battycore. I don't know if Battycore is going to sell the tickets we're hoping.
We're not going to get the crowd we want or we're going for here.
Yeah, I feel like we're old men being like, oh, yeah, that's Battycore, right? That's what they call that one.
Ooh, yeah, and it's the creepy old guys that have, like, hashtag Battycore on, like, a white T-shirt written on there with permanent marker. Yeah.
That's what that means, right?
Yeah. Yeah, Jelly Roll and Static X and that Dorothy. Ugh.
Honestly, Static X feels like it could kind of fit that vibe most of this lineup.
Some of the songs maybe could pull it, some of it.
Yeah, some of, like, the super groovy ones.
Yeah. Knuckle Puck, maybe. Maybe. And this isn't really for me. Sorry. So
I'm having a hard time only because of my strong, deep love for Static X and Dorothy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Static X is like the only driver for me.
I do love Static X and Jelly Roll on the same stage. That crowd's going to be mad confused. So,
I mean, somebody completely voiced my sentiments here. I could wait to see Dorothy and Static X somewhere else.
That's
so
very true. That would more than likely happen. So I think I'm seeing more no's and passes. I'll pass. Oh, God, no. Oh, it's not that bad. We're going to move on. Not to that one. Ellie Yeet. Yeet Fest is up. Save us, Yeet Fest. Band number one. Megadeth. I mean, it's already more in vain for the festivals we usually book. Number two, Periphery. Okay, so this is a guitar lovers festival. Also, by the way, Spencer of Periphery just got married a couple weeks ago. Congrats to him. Yeah. Number three, Nothing More. And number four, Slipknot.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
This Yeet Fest is making money. Slipknot, Megadeth, Nothing More, Periphery. Yeah, it's making money.
This is definitely a guitar. This is definitely a guitar heavy fest. Is. My guitarist is in chat, by the way. Chuck, you in this one? I am.
This is most likely going to be a sausage fest of a crowd, but you know what? It's going to sell.
This is like radio station support. They're going to be out there on site giving you free radio station swag the whole time.
Yes, exactly. And it'll be one of those alternative stations, though, that never play Slipknot or Megadeth, but they say they're metal. It's one of those.
There are some stations that actually do play.
Absolutely. But you totally know what I'm getting for. We're 93X in Denver, Colorado, playing the heavy stuff. Here we go with of Monsters and Men, followed by 21 Pilots. What?
And it's like that super deep radio guy voice. The heavy stuff you've ever heard. Here's Weezer.
Yeah, and he's angry about the whole thing. Yeah.
That's like the thing. We have like some sort of like jinx or curse going on where the second we give an adjective to the festival, it's like the exact opposite direction that we are going for.
Okay, Yeet Fest is great, but how can we pass up Battycore Fest for a name? I'm sorry, that was too good to pass up.
No, Battycore was awesome. It's just like the lineup spoiled the name. It's not even a funny bad like list. I like non Battycore bands.
This is holy cow. What is Yeet Fest going? Yes, I get what you're saying too. Can you put a price on peace? There's a station in Florida that plays metal. One, yeah, there's one station.
Wait. What if we called it? Can you put a price on Yeets?
Oh, I gotcha. Yeet Fest, yeah, that's a success. Local radio is still around. Yes, they are, actually. They really are.
Some places, look into it. Support your local rock radio station if they're actually awesome.
And they're DJs. They work hard. Jason Fest, up next. Jason, here's your show. Number one, Weird Al Yankovic. You know what? You're pulling in a big, fatty audience already. Number two, Stitched Up Heart. Number three, Amigo the Devil, which oddly fits with Weird Al.
Yeah, I like it.
And I'm just noticing this right now. He has a Jane Doe tattoo on his hand. That's awesome.
Oh, if you ever saw Amigo the Devil, he plays at DWP festivals. So, yeah.
I didn't know he was such a big Converge fan. Okay, yeah, no, I'm much more interested now.
And number four, 30 Seconds to Mars. I don't like that Weird Al has to be on the same stage with those two people.
I'm still going. I got to go for Weird Al. I got to go for Stitched Up Heart.
You got to go for Mixing. Let's be honest. You're going for Mixing.
Well, she's my homie.
Mm-hmm.
I go way back.
I don't know if I'm allowed at this show. So.
Jared has like your photo on like a dartboard or something.
I hope not after last year. I hope after YouTube told them knock it off that you learned a lesson.
Protect What's out that? At all costs.
Let's Mrs. Doubtfire you and just hang out with Weird Al the whole time. It'll be fine.
You know, Weird Al would probably be up for it too. It's like
Weird Al would help you, Mrs. Doubtfire.
It'd be like, hello!
Yes, with the whipped cream on the face, yeah.
Oh my god.
Oh, see, this is what sucks though. So many people say no. Like, and because of 30 seconds, I can't argue that, but it sucks that Weird Al is on a no.
Yeah. I'm going. I'll take one for the team.
I see some yeses for Weird Al. Oh, people leave after Weird Al, by the way. That's just gonna happen. So.
Yeah, no, it's like, look, I'm pretty sure just in terms of names, like 30 Seconds to Mars is probably going to be the last one performing, right? If I could just leave beforehand.
Yes. Also, hey, more people will come to this show than saw Tron Ares in theaters. Hey-oh, the movie bombed. If it flopped hard, like Disney lost over $100 million. So.
Yeah.
Oops.
Big,
let me learn.
Big oops. Yeah.
From what I heard from like fans, it was like a Tron movie in like name only. There was nothing really Tron about it.
Thank God Nine Inch Nails was there to get something out of it. Woof.
It feels like more people cared more about Nine Inch Nails than Tron.
They did something. So, and finally, Neurotic Fest. Boy, that's a name with neurotic plays. Neurotic Fest, you're up. Number one, Incubus. Number two, Three Teeth. Okay. Number three, No Jelly Roll. You already had you once. Number three, Memphis Mayfire. And number four, Cliff Diver, who we met at Riot Fest, and and it's a fun show. I would go to this. This is a good smaller local radio station fest, like in a venue. You know, does that make sense? Like, it's not like an outdoor. This is like one of the holiday shows. They book at a venue and just get a bunch of bands together. I would go to this. Three T's awesome.
I would go.
Cliff Diver is a blast live. They're a lot of fun. 30 Flirty and Thriving is one of their songs, and that's really fun. Memphis Mayfire is going to get a lot of attention anyway. They're going to bring a lot of the metalcore fans in. So I would go to this. Also, they would take a moment to sing the Duck song just for Alex and have a full 5 minutes just dedicated to that.
Oh, yeah. They're going to see, you know, they're going to see you in the audience and they're going to be like, you know, we want to dedicate this next song to a good friend of ours.
It would bring me on stage and make me sing it with them or something.
They would make her stand up center stage and just wait while everyone sings the song around her. And waddle away, waddle, waddle.
They have a little cardboard lemonade stand that you have.
Ooh, and she's the one at the stand. Yeah. And they have a person in a duck costume walk up to act it out.
See, you guys, if this ever happens, I'm going to be so mad.
That's fine. You can't be madder than you were when you met them and he brought it up on his own. You can't possibly be madder.
Are you kidding? If I hadn't, it's you two's fault.
Oh, yeah.
The reason why we give it is because you react so strongly to it.
I know, and I don't even know why. Yeah. I'm like, why? It just... I just wasted 5 minutes of my life. Thank you both so much when we watched it.
Done way worse for 5 minutes.
By the way, the booker of Neurotic Fest, Neurotic Plays, just chimed in saying waddle waddle. So you know what? This festival is now a success.
Thank you.
Thanks.
I like this festival. It's solid.
Yeah, we'll be there. Hope everyone has a happy holidays as we go into this holiday fest. Thank you. Moving on. As we go to the poll, thank you guys so much. As we start closing up shop, thank you for hanging with us. I'm going to stop streaming that. There we go. For our poll, for in the live chat, Painkiller versus Screaming for Vengeance, which Judas Priest album do you prefer? Painkiller wins at 60%, according to my vote. That's fair. 60 to 40, I think that's more than fair. Not a landslide, but still significant, you know? Pretty fair. The actual poll that's going to get, I hope, gets thousands of votes will be on the YouTube feed. Thank you so much for hanging out with us. This was not the most fun week, considering the names we lost, but I appreciate you all hanging out with us and just talking and listening and things like that. Alex, do you have anything you would like to add besides you don't want to talk about the Duck Song ever again?
No, I'm fine. Thank you.
Absolutely. Rowan, how about you?
Fun fact, for anyone in our chat who's been so awesome to go to my channel and watch my content, I know I haven't really been posting anything for a while now, but I am doing something like right after this call with my buddies and we're gonna record, and I think you guys will enjoy it. I know we're gonna have fun with it, so you know, be on the lookout for that.
Upcoming Rowan content along with Alex content that she does online. Also follow everyone's socials as well, Instagram, TikTok, things like that. Thank you so much. I'm working on my next video. I've already started writing it. I have it listed out. It's a fun video. I've been talking about TV performances. I'm going to bite the bullet and do my best to get through YouTube bots. 10 amazing rock performances on SNL. The reason I got to say that is because Universal and NBC are viciously protective of anything is Saturday Night Live on YouTube. So some of these clips are from Reddit, from TikTok that people have uploaded. I'm going to do my best to chop it up and show what I'm talking about, but it's worth seeing because some of these performances are amazing. That being said, that'll come up later. Finally, Alex, you have one person hoping for the pun of the week is good. What do you have for us to close out October 22nd?
All right. Scientists got bored sitting around waiting for the Earth to orbit the sun. So they called it a day.
Yes.
Yes.
That counts as one of your super literal, why can't dinosaurs clap their hands? Because they're extinct jokes. Yes.
Oh, come on. That's not bad.
I think my joke was funnier.
There's another one that was actually 100% perfectly literal. This one was a little bit more fun. I like this one.
Yes, it was a day. They called it a day. They
called it a day.
Yes. No, I got the joke. I don't even think I had to explain it. So, someone typed out in the chat. Yeah.
Come on.
He wouldn't have bothered to carve out he would just say it.
Neurotic Plays, who wanted the good pun, gave a sunshine for the day.
Sunshine. I'll take a sunshine.
Was this a spot of sunshine in everyone's day? That tomatoes and pickles? Is that
cucumber?
Someone got it. Okay, you got a thumbs up and a lol. So I mean, okay. Earth, someone throwing Earths at you.
The world is mine.
Yeah, apparently we got Goku in our chat who can throw planets.
Someone actually said we laugh, so they're watching with like a friend or a partner, and they said they both laugh. So you know what?
Thank you so much.
Someone is crying continuously in the chat. I don't know what that's about.
That doesn't feel like an awesome response, but I'll take it.
Like openly weeping at the joke. Oh, man.
I'm sorry this moved you to tears. That wasn't my intention.
I just like to see that stand up. Like there's one person in the front row and like crying their eyes out horrifically at Alex's joke.
What is
cake? I was going to say donuts or cakes. Yeah. Oh, someone put a bullhorn in there, said there's no foghorn emoji, but close enough. I gotcha. That makes sense.
I'll take it.
I was going to say a bullhorn. Don't amplify her voice.
It's open to interpretation, foghorn, bullhorn, whatever.
Thank you so much, everyone, for tuning in and sticking with us. We will be back next week for the podcast that rocks. We'll have another bad joke and hopefully a lot more positive news. In the meantime, check your friends at the lemonade stand and don't waddle away on them. Waddle, waddle. Dun, 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 dun.
Daddy waddled away. Waddle, waddle, waddle.
For those who are listening.
I don't even know why. Why does it bother me?
For those listening, Alex is a little bit distraught. So
I don't know.
So have a good week,
everyone. Just a waste of my time. I'm never going to get that time back.
Like the duck when he didn't get the lemonade? I nailed it!